Today we're going to start off again with 1 Corinthians chapter 9 today. Continue going through that book of 1 Corinthians. Some good stuff in there. And every word of God is pure. Everything that God has written in His Word is good for doctrine, reproof, and correction, and instruction in righteousness. And 1 Corinthians chapter 9, as I was just kind of meditating on the theme of this chapter, the word that just kept coming to me is the word responsibility. That there is, there's a case to be made in the Bible for a Christian to have responsibility. Now, when we talk about responsibility, we're not talking about, you know, putting people under bondage. We're not talking about working our way to heaven. We're just talking about being responsible. We all have responsibilities. You know, when you grow up and you get out of high school, you get some responsibilities. And one of them might be to show up at work on Monday morning. How many know that's a responsibility? It's not a privilege. The privilege you get is if you keep your responsibility. That means if somebody writes you a paycheck at the end of your time. But you have you get the privilege of eating, things like that. But privilege and responsibility kind of go hand in hand. But there are responsibilities that the Scripture speaks about that we should assume and become part of our life. Responsibility, in a way, is kind of like a burden. When you have a responsibility, there's a weight that comes to you. You know, if you, I spoke about a job, but think about this. What if you go out and get married and you have a baby on the way? All of a sudden, there's a pressure, a different kind of a pressure. Something new is in your life, but it's a responsibility. It's something now that you have new tasks to do, new things to think about, more people under your umbrella of care and protection. And that's called responsibility. But there are responsibilities in the Bible for Christians, and I want to talk about them today. So with that, let's just pray. I know I gave a long introduction. Make sure you keep that on the tape, Nate. I'm going to pray right now. Father, open up our hearts to your word. Let it be alive to us. It's amazing to me, Lord, how you've taken things like this, a man writing to a church, and somehow incorporated this into your living word for your church through all generations. It's an amazing miracle, the power of God's word. I pray today that we could see the heart of Jesus as we look in your scripture. In Jesus' name, amen. Here's something I found on the internet, so it's got to be true. Here's some verbs that are frequently used with the word responsibility as an object. See which ones make sense to you. To abdicate responsibility. Anybody know what abdicate means? All right. To accept responsibility. To assume responsibility. To bear. We talked about a kind of a burden or a weight that comes. We bear responsibility. How about this? Evade responsibility. Anybody ever done that before? To exercise responsibility. To fulfill your responsibility. How about this one? Shirk responsibility. To shoulder responsibility. Or to take responsibility. So, we see in those typical verbs that we use when we describe responsibility, there are some that are negative, and the negative ones are always just this idea of getting out from under it. I don't want to, in my life, I don't want to carry that burden. I don't want to bear that responsibility. And there's other ones that take on this kind of a more mature place that says, I'm going to assume that responsibility. I will shoulder that responsibility. I will bear that responsibility. And I just want you to know, all of us, but in particular, all the young people that are here, the more that you bear responsibility, the better off your life will be. in your marriage, in your job, in your community, with your family. The more you shoulder responsibility, the better your life will be. So today, let's look at the case for Christian responsibility. There's many things in the Bible that I think speak about our responsibility. And a good example is Romans 13:8. It says, owe no one anything except to love each other. That's a responsibility. I have a responsibility to you, and you have a responsibility to me to love each other. We either shirk that and evade it, or we say, I will assume that responsibility. And so there are many things like this in the Bible that I see as responsibilities. Paul addresses just a few in this chapter. So all I'm saying is that this chapter isn't the full list of responsibilities, but it's just the principles that are here speak about it. So let's start off in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Paul says, am I not free? In other words, I'm not really bound to anybody. I don't really have a certain obligation in that sense. Am I not free? Now, he's linking this to chapter 8, which we talked about a few weeks back. It's been actually a number of weeks ago since Christmas and so on, but where Paul was talking about the idea that we have a freedom, but we don't use our freedom to cause a stumbling block to people. So in other words, if I have the freedom to eat meat and I'm with a person who feels that meat was offered to an idol and by me eating the meat would cause him to be offended, then I don't take that freedom and use it to offend my brother. And so Paul's kind of piggybacking on that when he's starting into the next chapter. Am I not free? I have certain freedoms, he says. Am I not an apostle? Have I not seen Jesus our Lord? Are not you my workmanship in the Lord? And what he's basically saying, he's giving some kind of basis for his relationship in this church. In other words, he came to Corinth, he preached the gospel, he laid the foundation. And if you remember back in the first few chapters, there was all this kind of arguing and division in that church around people saying, well, I'm of Paul, or I'm of Peter, or I'm of Apollos, or I'm of Christ, and they were causing this division. And a lot of people were kind of writing Paul out as, you don't really have any influence here. And Paul was saying, listen, I do have influence here. I am the guy who's responsible for you even being in the Lord. And he goes on to say, if to others I'm not an apostle, at least I am to you. Now, in the next few chapters, Paul's going to spend a lot of time bringing a lot of correction to the church. And how many of you know it's really important to have a good relationship when you're going to bring correction? And so Paul's really establishing this idea that I have a relationship with you, and I have a certain responsibility to be able to teach you and to correct you when needed. But he's establishing his right. I have this freedom. He says, for you are the seal of my apostleship in the Lord. In other words, the fact that you exist validates my calling and my ministry. And he says in verse 3, this is my defense to those who would examine me. So there were people questioning Paul's ability to speak into their life, even Paul's being a legitimate apostle. And one of the things that caused them to question this is the idea of money. There were people who were there, like maybe Peter, some of the other apostles, who were receiving financial benefit, like payment in a sense, for their work. They were providing for the needs of these men. Paul was not. Paul said, I don't want to receive anything from you. And so he kind of cut himself out of this financial transaction. And some people maybe felt like Paul felt guilty. Like, well, hey, you're not receiving any money. Maybe you don't feel worthy. Maybe you don't feel like you should be an apostle speaking into our life. And so those were some of the questions that were coming up. And Paul said, this is my defense to those who would examine me. So verse 4, he says, do we not have the right to eat and drink? How many of you know Paul had a right to eat and drink? Just like anybody. But he was speaking here specifically about a right to receive a financial provision from this church into which he was ministering. He was telling the Corinthians, we have a right. How many of you know what a right is? Again, that's a sort of an obligation and a responsibility in a sense. It's an obligation on one part that places a responsibility if you assume the obligation. If Paul has a right to eat and drink, it means somebody has to foot the bill for it. Amen? So that right automatically creates a burden of responsibility. Do we not have the right to take along a believing wife as do the other apostles and the brothers of the Lord and Cephas, who is Peter? So in other words, the other apostles were traveling around doing their ministry and they were carrying along with them their wives, maybe children, who knows. And all that required provision. They needed a place to stay. They needed food. They needed, you know, money to travel, to do their work. And so he's saying, you know, are we the only ones that don't have this right? You know, Paul and Barnabas were basically saying, we're not taking any money, but everybody else was. But he's trying to establish with them that we actually have this right. It's a right that we have, and it is an obligation upon the church and a responsibility, but we're not taking it. We're not going to exercise our freedom in this case. In verse 6, he says, or is it only Barnabas and I who have no right to refrain from working for a living? Now, you know that Paul did spend times doing tent-making work, and he worked alongside of his ministry. But there were other times when he was provided for financially by others. And so he says in verse 6, is it only Barnabas and I who have no right to refrain from working? Wonder how Paul and Barnabas felt at this time. Everybody else was getting paid for their work, and they were like, who are we? You know, what are we all about? But he was actually not wanting their money. So then he gives some kind of natural examples. Who serves as a soldier at his own expense? Now, how many of you here have ever been in the military? Now, when you went to the army, did they ask you to buy your own food? They say, come and join the army. When you get here, there's some great restaurants. You know, bring a lot of money with you. Make sure you're hooked up with someone from home because there's good food here, but you got to pay for it. And these uniforms, they're very expensive because they're the best materials. This new army jacket is going to cost you about $500. So make sure you get that money in. And then also, hey, don't forget, you need a rifle and some ammo. So depending on how much money you can bring, you might last longer in the battle than somebody else. But that's what Paul's argument is here. He's saying, who serves as a soldier at his own expense? You know, if you're a soldier, that is provided. Or who plants a vineyard without eating any of its fruit? You know, if you're a guy that has apple trees, for example, is it wrong for you to walk out and pick an apple off your tree and eat it? Well, you didn't pay for it. I thought you were selling those apples. Yeah, but I work the vineyard. This is partly mine. I can eat of it because I own it in a way. Or if you're a vineyard owner and you have grapes growing there, is there anything wrong with you walking up and eating a few? I mean, how many of you guys have gardens? Do you eat of those gardens? Sure you do. And that's his point here. Who has a vineyard? Who plants a vineyard without eating its fruit? Or who tends a flock without getting some of the milk? Does anybody here have a flock where you milk them? I know some of us have a flock. But there's sometimes people have flocks where they milk them, or a cow. I used to work on a dairy farm. And you know, one of the things we did is we went down and we got a thing, big gallon jar and took milk out of the container. That was a benefit. I didn't pay for it, but it wasn't stealing. It was part of what you get as a result of the work. And then Paul says, do I say these things on human authority? In other words, is this just me talking? Is it just my ideas here? Or does not the law say the same thing? Well, it's actually written in the law of Moses, he said, don't muzzle an ox when it treads out the grain. So he has this picture written in the law of Moses where you have an ox who's plowing your field, and maybe he's cutting down the grain for harvest. It's nice to know that that ox, if he gets hungry, he can just reach down while he's walking along and grab some things to eat him. You don't muzzle him. You let him partake of the fruit of his labor. And you're going to have a lot more reward in the labor of that ox if you let him eat. If you muzzle him and he's walking down there, he's going to get hungry and famished maybe before he's done plowing your field or harvesting your crop. So don't muzzle the ox when it treads out the grain. And then Paul asked this question, is it for oxen that God is concerned? I mean, is God that concerned about oxen, or does he certainly not speak for our sake? He said, this scripture he just quoted is written for our sake. It's really for us. It's for us to learn a principle that we can walk in. He says, verse 10, does he certainly not speak for our sake? He says, it was written for our sake because the plowman should plow in hope. If there is a plowman, there should be a hope that at the end of his day, there's something to partake of. The plowman should plow in hope. The thresher should thresh in hope with the idea that he will share in the crop. So Paul here, in this portion of this chapter, he's basically laying out in front of the Corinthian church that I have a right. And I'm basing it upon the scripture. I'm basing it upon things we all naturally understand, like a farmer or a soldier. All these things we know, we understand. So I too have a right from you, the Corinthians, because I'm the one who plowed this field. I'm the one who, you know, built the foundation. I'm the one who labored here. You are the seal of my apostleship. And there is a financial obligation between you and me. That's what he's saying. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, keep your finger here and flip over to 2 Corinthians because he talks a little bit more about this in his second letter to the Corinthians, and he gives a little bit more insight. He says here, did I commit a sin in humbling myself so that you might be exalted because I preached God's gospel to you free of charge? You know, again, they were questioning maybe his motive. Paul didn't want them to think that he was like a mercenary, that he was there just for money. There was a whole different reason, a whole different sense of responsibility that Paul carried in his life, way above the idea of being a financial transaction. This was not a career. This was not a career for Paul. He was there under the mission of the Lord Jesus Christ to preach the gospel. And he didn't want any question to come as to why he was receiving this money. But yet he was still trying to teach the church there is a responsibility. So he says in verse 8, I robbed other churches. What does that mean? Did Paul go around with a gun and a mask? I'm robbing other. No, what he's saying here is, when I didn't receive anything from you, Corinthians, I still have a need. And there were other churches that I also have a relationship with who are bearing that responsibility. In a sense, I'm robbing from them because I'm not really plowing in their field. I'm plowing in your field, but they're paying me for it. You understand what he's saying? He says, I robbed other churches. There is an obligation that comes when Paul's plowing into this field, and yet the Corinthians weren't giving him anything, but somebody was. The need still existed. There was still a burden. There was still a responsibility. And Paul was saying, I robbed other churches by accepting support from them in order to serve you. And when I was with you, and I was in need, I did not burden anyone. Paul didn't go around asking for help. He didn't put a burden on people. Because the brothers who came from Macedonia, and I'm actually in 2 Corinthians 11, verse 7 through 9, if you haven't picked that up yet. The brothers who came from Macedonia supplied my need. So I refrained, and I will refrain from burdening you in any way. Isn't that a neat scripture? You know, I was reading about how far is Macedonia from Corinth. How far? It was like 300 miles away, which is a long way to go in those days. I mean, that's kind of a long way to go in these days, although we can get there a lot faster. But what happened was the Macedonian Christians shouldered a burden. They said, hey, we have our brother Paul who has labored. Our church exists today because of what Paul did. Remember when Paul, the Spirit forbade him to go here and forbade him to go there, and then a man from Macedonia in the dream? He was sent there directly by the Lord, and he preached there. Paul underwent persecution in those areas, and yet there was a church planted, and the church raised up. It's the Philippian church is one of those ones in that area. And somehow this group of churches understood the responsibility. We have a burden, an obligation, and a responsibility to our brother Paul. And they traveled 300 miles to take care of his financial needs because Corinth wouldn't. So you see there, some people shirking a responsibility, other people embracing it. What about you? I'm not trying to put anybody under burden, but we all have a responsibility to provide for the work of the Lord. I like this scripture because it shows the sense that a need always creates a burden of responsibility. You know, Paul was saying, we do have a need. Though you aren't fulfilling it, somebody has to. Therefore, I'm robbing from them. So I want you to understand that the work of the Lord has needs. I want to say up front, our church is a very generous and giving church. We have plenty of money. I mean, I don't want to be weird about it, but the Lord has provided for us everything we need, and I want to thank you for that. But I also understand that if you're not a giving person and giving to the work of the Lord, you're robbing people. You may say, well, the church has what it needs. That doesn't matter. You're robbing other people because other people are paying for what you're receiving. So I just ask you to say, is it time for me to shoulder my responsibility, to take on my obligation to give to the work of the Lord? Because it comes from somewhere, and hopefully it's those who receive it who are giving back. That's responsibility, amen? I love the heart of the Macedonian church. There's other scriptures, you might do a study on it sometime and see how giving those people were. Even out of their poverty, they gave liberally. It was an amazing group of people that somehow captured the essence of Christian responsibility. Now, verse 11. Back in 1 Corinthians 9, verse 11, Paul says, if we have sown spiritual things among you, so he's now kind of going back to the idea of a farmer working his field. If we have sown spiritual things, in other words, we're planting seeds and helping to plant spiritual things into people's lives, is it too much if we reap material things? See, it's kind of this idea that there's this exchange, there's this responsibility that comes, a burden of responsibility here. If we have sown spiritual things, is it too much if we reap material things? And the answer to that is No. That is the way it should be. Don't muzzle the ox who treads the corn. That kind of a thing. In verse 12, Paul says, if others, meaning Peter, Apollos, other apostles, other traveling ministers, all those others, if others share this rightful claim, what's he call it? A rightful claim. You know, for those men to say, hey, we're out serving in the work of the Lord, can you provide for our needs? It is called a rightful claim. If others share this rightful claim on you, do not we even more? Because again, I'm your apostle. I'm the one who labored here. You are my seal of my apostleship. If they can have a rightful claim on you, why not us? Nevertheless, we have not made use of this right. We have the right, but we chose not to use it. Just like in the chapter 8, we have the right to eat meat, but if it offends somebody, we're just not going to eat. And Paul's saying, we have the right to this financial care from you, the Corinthian church, but we've not used it. We've chosen not to use it. It doesn't mean that the need still didn't exist. Somebody else, the Macedonians, took care of it. But we're not going to ask you. We have not used this right, but we endure anything. We endure anything rather than put an obstacle in the way of the gospel of Christ. Isn't that a beautiful scripture? And that is the heart of the Apostle Paul. I don't want to do anything in Corinth to cause you to question our motive and why we're even here. It's not about the money. It's about the gospel of Christ. And I want that to be clear to everybody here. I want that to be clear to you. He's writing this. I want this to be clear to you. That is what we're all about. It's about the gospel of Jesus Christ. And even though we have a right, we're not going to exercise it because I don't want anything to stand between that. I don't want you to question why we're here. And so Paul, I think he had an understanding of a greater responsibility. His responsibility was to be faithful to the gospel of Jesus Christ, to be faithful to the preaching of that, and not to allow anything in his life, whether it was his lifestyle, the way he acted, the way he treated people, or even this right of having money, if it stood in the way of being effective in preaching the gospel, he said, I don't even want it. I want that to have the priority and the most prominent place in my ministry to you. And I love that about this man. I want to be this kind of a guy, don't you guys? That nothing would stand in the way of our presentation of the gospel. Nothing would hinder that truth being promoted among God's people. Paul, in a sense, took on a responsibility of sharing the gospel. He saw it as a divine obligation, a burden, and he did not shirk it. He shouldered it. Verse 13, do you not know that those who are employed in the temple service get their food from the temple? He's even going back to an Old Testament story. The priests who served in the temple, you know, when you would bring up an offering to the temple, the priest had this thing called a flesh hook. He would grab it and yank a big hunk of flesh out and say, that's mine. So he says, those who are employed in the temple service get their food from the temple, and those who serve at the altar share in the sacrificial offerings. In the same way, the Lord commanded. What's that word? Commanded. That puts responsibility out. The Lord has commanded. This is not the Lord's suggestion. The Lord has commanded that those who proclaim the gospel should get their living by the gospel. I guess I wrote down a note. I don't guess I did. I know I did. So I'm looking at it right here. If the Lord made a command that those who preach the gospel should live of the gospel, then by default, that command falls upon his people to provide. You know, if no one takes that responsibility, that command is basically worthless. And so the Corinthians did not, but the Macedonians did. I hope that you will take your responsibility, your financial responsibility, to the work of the kingdom of God. I've read statistics, and I don't want to even quote them because I don't have them here. I didn't even look them up, but I've read statistics that if the average church member would tithe, we could solve all the world's problems with hunger, with education. There's so much money that resides within God's people if we would give. But the problem is we don't often see it as a Christian responsibility. It falls to others. So again, it feels kind of heavy in here right now. And I don't want you to feel heavy about it. Just ask the Lord. I mean, what are you doing? Are you taking your responsibility? Are you receiving spiritual? Then give material. Verse 15, Paul says, I have made no use of any of these rights, nor am I writing these things to secure such provision. And that's what I'm saying this morning. I'm not sharing this because I'm asking for provision. I'm sharing this because we're on chapter 9. That's the nice thing about preaching through the books of the Bible, because you get to say all kinds of things. Paul says, I would rather die than have anyone deprive me of my ground for boasting. In other words, boasting that he could preach the gospel free of charge. No one could ever question his motive in Corinth. And you know, sometimes it's a sad thing, but sometimes in churches, there is such a financial hold upon a minister that he really can't preach the word sometimes. And we will never have that here. I mean, we can't. How can we? How can you live under that? If people would say, well, you preach that, we're going to stop giving. Well, what are you going to do? It's the word of God. I know men who've talked to me personally about these kinds of scenarios. They feel shackled to preach what the word of God says because they will lose their job. And think of the freedom that Paul has, that he is not living under a financial burden, but he's living under this responsibility to Christ, a responsibility to his word, to preach his word. It's not a political thing. It's not a financial motivation. It is from the heart of God. Lord, I want to be faithful to your word. I don't want anybody to deprive me of my ground for boasting. That's a beautiful thing. I hope you see that as such a beautiful thing in the heart of this man, the Apostle Paul. And it should be this way in every church. It should be. There is a faithfulness that's required in the preaching of the Word of God that cannot be linked to any other motivation. And Paul the Apostle is a great example for us in carrying it out. And Paul says in verse 16, if I preach the gospel, that gives me no ground for boasting, for necessity is laid upon me. What's that? Responsibility. I carry a divine responsibility. If I'm preaching the gospel, I'm not even boasting in it. I have no other choice. He actually says here, woe to me if I do not preach the gospel. I want to be able to say that. I hope you do too. That there is, not only do we carry a financial responsibility, we carry a responsibility to carry the gospel. Woe to me if I don't preach the gospel. That falls upon each one of us. We're called, each of us, into the Great Commission. Jesus, when he sent his disciples, he was sending us all out. Go make disciples of all nations. Baptize them. Teach them to obey everything I've commanded you. And that goes on and on and on, all down through history. And so we are even those today who've received this responsibility. It's a burden. I hope you bear it. I hope you don't shirk it. I hope you say, Lord, help me to embrace this responsibility. Woe to me if I do not preach the gospel. For Paul says, if I do this of my own will, I have a reward. Now, what is he saying there? He's saying is, if I'm really doing this because I want to do it, that's my reward. I get joy out of doing it. And sometimes that's the case. But he says, if it's not of my own will, if I'm kind of being cajoled or forced or somehow pushed by the Lord to do this, if I'm doing it against my will, in a sense, I'm still entrusted with a stewardship. Even if I don't want to do it, there's still a responsibility that's been laid upon me. There's still a stewardship that God has laid upon my life. And Paul stood there as a man that says, I have no other choice but to preach the gospel. I have no other choice. Whether I'm doing it out of my will or not, I have a responsibility, a burden that's been laid upon me. So what is my reward then? That in my preaching, I may present the gospel free of charge, so as not to make full use of my right in the gospel. For though I am free from all, I have made myself a servant to all. See, Paul says, I have this freedom, but I'm choosing to be a slave. Wonder if we can do that. That's taking responsibility. When you become an adult, when you become a mother or a father, you have all kinds of freedoms, but you choose to be a slave, in a sense. Think about it. You could go out, you could leave your kids at home when they're 1 year old and go out and do what you want to do, but you choose to be a slave for their benefit. That's what responsibility does for us. It makes us take on a greater role in our life for the benefit of others. It's no longer me who's the center of my universe. I'm caring about somebody else now. And so Paul says, I became a servant to all, even though I'm free. What's the reason? That I might win more of them. Win. He wants to see people get saved. Amen. Verse 20, to the Jews, I became as a Jew in order to win the Jews. In order to win. Remember when he called Timothy to walk with him and he told Timothy, hey, if you want to go with me, we're going to go see the Jews. So you got to become circumcised. How many of you know he had the freedom not to be, but he chose to be a slave to that. And he was a young man, brothers. And yet he became as one so that he could win them. To those under the law, I became as one under the law, though not being myself under the law, that I might win those under the law. That was his motivation in everything he did. Verse 21, to those outside the law, I became as one outside the law, not being outside the law of God, but under the law of Christ. Why? That I might win those outside the law. To the weak, I became weak, that I might win the weak. I become all things to all people, that by all means, I might save some. How many of you know that talks about responsibility? That's a guy who carries a responsibility. That he's not exercising his freedoms. He's saying, I'm becoming a slave instead. I'm going to be a slave to others because I want to win them. I want to win them to Jesus. Paul understood eternal things. He understood that person who dies without Christ is doomed for an eternity in hell. And so he said, I will surrender my life to win this person. And whatever it has to do, whatever it has to happen, I will become all things to all people that by all means I might save some. I do it all for the sake of the gospel. What a beautiful, beautiful story. That I may share with them in its blessings. How many of you have shared in the blessings of Christ since you've received the gospel? Can I see your hands? Share it with somebody. Don't be selfish with it. You have a responsibility. Paul was saying, I do it for the sake of the gospel that I may share with them in its blessings. And finally, 1 Corinthians 9, verse 24. Do you not know that in a race, all the runners run, but only one receives a prize? So run that you may obtain it. I call this section, Whatever Happened to the Hot Pursuit of God? You know, I have a responsibility to be hot for God. Amen. It's no one else's job. It's not my pastor. It's not the elder. It's not my brother. It's not my wife. I have a responsibility to pursue Jesus as a man, as a woman. Yes, we can encourage one another. We can urge each other on to love and good works. But at the end of the day, nobody can walk your walk. That is a responsibility each person has to carry. And I pray that we, as a church, could grasp this responsibility and take it on with all of our heart. That you're in a race and only one person is going to win the prize. How many of you love to win games? How many actually love to lose a game? I mean, we're not that. I mean, there's some of us obviously more competitive than others. But we're in a race also in the spiritual world. And Paul says, every athlete exercises self-control in all things. We're running a race. What about self-control? What about discipline? It says, they do it to receive a perishable wreath. I mean, all their energy, all their training, all their discipline, all their self-control was to win a trophy. And Paul's saying, what we're pursuing is an eternal wreath, one that will never pass away. What are you running for? What is it that you are running for? What is it that you are pursuing in your life? What is the crown that's out there in front of you? What is it that you're willing to train for, to discipline yourself for, to bring self-control in your life? What is it? Is it a perishable wreath or an imperishable one? Paul says, I do not run aimlessly. How many here feel like you run aimlessly from time to time? You're just kind of running around. Where am I going? What am I doing here? I do not run aimlessly. I do not box as one beating the air. But I discipline my body and keep it under control, lest after preaching to others, I should be disqualified. Disqualified is a very strong word, which I'm going to teach a little bit about in the next chapter. It's a bad word. You don't want to be disqualified. And Paul understood that he carried a certain responsibility about his qualification or disqualification. So there's three different responsibilities we mentioned here in this chapter. One was the responsibility of financial support to the work of God's kingdom. Second was the responsibility to preach the gospel. And third was the responsibility to take our walk with Christ seriously, to run the race. And I pray that God would help us all carry these responsibilities, to be responsible Christian brothers and sisters. Wouldn't that be awesome? Amen. Amen. Let's all stand together, and we're going to close in prayer.